KNW iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
You know, it's always fun when you get to talk to somebody that philosophies line up with yours a lot. And there is, as you well know, a faithful listener of CKW, that we love anybody who knows what 1320 looks like, or 1000 looks like, or something that knows what a car looks like, or somebody that knows what drag racing fun is all about. And oh, did we find him today? Steve Tomosik, all the way from the Detroit Tiger Nostalgia Funny Car and Milan Dragway. Hiya, Steve.
Hey, John, how are you?
Dandy, glad that you're with us today. I see you've had a very boring couple of weeks, huh?
It has been. Yes, it has.
So what is this, that you've gone out to Nebraska with the Detroit Tiger Funny Car?
Yes, we did. And, all the way to Nebraska.
And did well, from my understand.
We did fair. We qualified well, and we had some, we had a transmission fail us first round, so that ended our weekend, but these things happen.
No, see, this is radio. Yes, Steve took first place.
Yeah, it was the first round runner-up, right?
Job well done. All right. That's kind of the fun part of going around. You were in Nebraska. That was a Funny Car Chaos, wasn't it?
That's correct.
All right. And so with that, it was everybody with Nostalgia Funny Cars were there, I'm assuming?
It does not have to be a Nostalgia Funny Car. It can be a current Big Show Funny Car, a Top Alcohol Funny Car. There's... as long as it has a fiberglass flip-top body on it, there's no rules.
No kidding. So you were, how did they pair you guys off, though? You didn't go against a current car, did you?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Really?
Yes. It's they run 16. There's actually two fields. There's an A and a B field.
Yeah.
They ladder everybody off of their qualifying time. So the quickest eight go to the A field, and the following go to the B field.
Okay, so then how, I mean, it's got to be an interesting mix, isn't it?
It is. The nice thing about the Chaos series is that they run these little tracks that the racetracks are the equalizer. You know, that's how, you know, we've been very successful with this series. For that fact is that we have a lot of experience on these, we'll call them lesser tracks. They're not national event tracks.
Hometown tracks.
Correct, yes, yes. And we've been racing on these tracks for 10, 15 years, and we have a handle on them. So when we go up against whether it's a Big Show Nitro car or a Nostalgia Nitro car, we stand a good chance.
Wow.
And we do well.
Job well done. You know, we're going to talk about the upcoming event in Milan pretty soon. But what folks want to know about you is, on so many different levels, how long have you had the Detroit Tiger Funny Car?
We've been running the Detroit Tiger for four seasons now.
Wow. What'd you have before that? Anything?
Before that, we had a 71 CUDA called the Parts Peddler. We ran that for 5 years.
Wait. You gave up a fine Chrysler vehicle for a Monza?
Well, you know, I knew that strike.
And thanks, Steve, for showing up today. Yeah, no. You know, that's the wonderful thing about all this. Because both of them, and I'm assuming that was a Nostalgia Funny Car also, correct?
Correct, yes.
Now, here's one of the most scarier things. You, for folks, and a lot of folks here know what a funny car is, and some folks don't, and we want to say hi to the, you know, folks that may be listening to Budapest that maybe not have seen or really fully understand this. This is a totally fiberglass body that's hinged in the back, right?
Correct. Correct.
And it's basically on a tube chassis.
Correct.
And they flip this thing down, and your life is in some really weird hands.
It is.
How did you start doing this?
I've been drag racing since I was 14 and a half.
About 8 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
There you go. It's radio.
Seems like it. Right. I hung out with my uncles and my dad. They were, you know, they've been bracket racers for years, and we've just evolved. We went from bracket cars to I ran my dad's C-Gas 55 Chevy for several years, and then got into a AA gasser, and then stepped into the funny car. Been running funny cars for about 12 years.
Yeah, but that's a different gig than running, you know, a door-slamming Chevrolet. Yeah, even the AA is kind of wild, but, I mean, you're in there. This isn't like these newfangled ones, you know, that these bodies... Now, you still have a lot of the safety equipment. This isn't like... Your Tri-Tiger isn't, like, stuck in 1977, right? You got into doing floppers how?
Just kind of the progression. I've always been a fan, and... you know, once I was able to put some financing together, thanks to my wife.
Thanks to your wife.
Well, yeah.
This sounds like a story. you can get a flopper if you take out the trash every night for 50 years?
Yeah, kind of something like that, right.
Wow. What an understanding wife. Way to go, right. Man.
She is the best.
Why? Yes. Yeah. Don't say anything worse. Yeah. I mean, how do you do that? You just say, you know, honey, it sure is crazy. I was thinking about golf or a funny car. What do you think?
Yeah, golf's too much like work, so. It was a no-brainer.
Okay. So running a flopper is not like work?
Well, not so much for us. It's a lot easier for us to do that than it is to golf.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I mean, let's see. We have some clubs we can put in the back of the car and go. Or...
Anybody can do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty... I mean, what do you hit her up with? You know, honey, I was thinking?
Yeah, something like that. No, we just... after we parked the AA gas car, we just started gathering parts, and the fortunate thing with our deal is my family and my crew, we do everything in-house. We do our own chassis work. We build our own
engines. Wow.
We do our own body and paint. So we're fortunate that way that we've got the skill set between all of us to make all that happen, and it saves us a lot of cost.
How many people are in that organization?
There's like nine or ten of us.
Wow, what do you get, like the drag racing version of the Avengers?
Everybody? Yeah, something like that. We try to act like it.
Yeah, but I mean, if everybody's got their own skill.
And they do. They do. Everybody has something that they bring to the table.
Wow. And so they all converge when you do these national events?
Yes. Yeah, we don't all necessarily make it to the race, but, you know, there's usually five or six of us. You know, everybody has their own lives and, you know, a lot of their families and whatnot. But, yeah, for the most part, there's usually half a dozen or seven of us that make it to each event, and we kind of rotate everybody in and out.
You know, Steve, how many events do you have a year on a good year? Forget about 2020.
Right. Yeah, typically we're anywhere from 10 to 15 events.
Wow, starting when?
We usually start in May and end in October.
So what is that, like two a month, if not more?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. So while other people have a cabin...
Right. Ours just has wheels on it, that's all.
You know, that's got to be a very unique thing, only because going in a flopper, if anybody's ever sat in one, when that when they shut that lid, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why those things can be potentially scary.
Some might look at it that way, sure.
I mean, what do you think of when they shut the lid? What's going through your head? I mean, obviously you're not going, I hope this doesn't blow up.
No, it's, you know, the first couple times 12 years ago when it when I started running it, it was a little intimidating. But it's just like everything else. After you do it, it just becomes old hat.
Yeah, but how did you learn? I mean, it's not like you can go to U of M and go to Funny Car Drag Racing School.
Well, you can. You can go to Frank Holly's in Florida,
did you?
And California. And no, I just, you know, like I said, I made the progressions. I went, you know, I drove bracket cars and then the gassers and just kept making that progression up into the funny car.
And that first time you made your pass, what did you think?
I was scared to death. I made the mistake. We had just, when we finished our first funny car, which was a 69 Camaro, we took it to the Bowling Green, the Hot Rod Nationals in Bowling Green, the NHRA deal.
Right.
And I made my first pass in front of probably 15,000 people.
Good. And nobody there then?
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever. And it's not something that I recommend to anybody. I would never do that again.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we didn't screw up, and we made it to the finish line, and it was all good. But it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, because I think if I was in front of 15,000 doing my very first run, I would have probably at the second yellow, I would have pulled the chute.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's got to be a weird feeling because that's an awful lot more horsepower, I'm thinking, than doing your progression that you were right before that ledge, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yes.
And that's got to be a way different feeling because you're sitting in right in the middle. I mean, how much did it take you? How long did it take you to like go from like a door slammer to where the funny car, where you sit far back and you sit, you know, right in the middle and there's the motor exposed?
Well, honestly, in comparison to my AA gasser, the funny car was easier to drive.
Because really?
The gasser, you know, it was a blown Chevy, but it was only 99 inches in wheelbase. So then you jump into something that's 125 inches. It's more drivable.
Yeah, and I guess that you're a little bit more enclosed, too, aren't you?
Correct, yes.
You know, I mean, what do you see when you go, when they fire you up and they push you close to the line? When you're going close to the burnout box, what do you see?
Not a whole lot of anything. I can see pretty good out of the Monza. You've got pretty good vision. There's some cars out there that the roof lines are a little lower, that they're harder to see. But this one you can see pretty good out of.
And then what do you think? Because we've heard people all the way from Brian Wolf, who runs Milan a lot, you know, to even Susie Q, et cetera. The folks have been running before. Everybody has, when they get into the box, they have their own ritual of something that they must always, always, always do, and things they do. I was amazed to see that Carrie Ann Beebe hears nothing. No crowd, no noise, no nothing, because she's focused. When you come into your burnout box, what do you do?
Yeah, when once the body goes down, things do kind of fall silent. And I'm just, you know, I'm concentrated on, I pick my spot down on the horizon at the end of the track, and I pick my point, and I just concentrate on the Christmas tree, and
once it
comes down, it's on.
Can you hear the engine? Can you hear if everything's going absolutely positively correct? But if you don't hear, I mean, the engine is right there. It's not like they have wonderful mufflers on funny cars, you know?
Right, yeah. Yes. No, you're pretty tuned into it. Yeah. If it doesn't sound right or does something stupid, you know, you can hear it. And
then what do you do?
And react.
I mean, do you try to drive through that and think, maybe it'll clear itself up, or you go, this is going to cost?
No. If the engine sounds like it's going to give me trouble, we're done. If there's nothing worth risking hurting parts or myself or the person in the other lane.
Yeah, I mean, when you see those pictures in, you know, on the internet of blowers blowing and bodies flying off and stuff, that gives you about a 3-second ooh-ah, and then you looked at the next page while the driver of that vehicle is going, ha-ha-ha.
Right.
And then that's the one thing that we looked at, and it was like the safety factors on nostalgia funny cars. And again, as what we were trying to allude to before, it's not, you do have updated safety stuff, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes, my car is, the chassis itself is actually just the same as a current Big Show funny car. I actually purchased it from Cruz Petragon, you know, 10 years ago. So, yeah, it's all current. There's, the only thing that's nostalgia about it is the look of the body.
Right, because you still have to go through the same everything that funny cars. I mean, what'd you call them? The Big Show funny cars?
Correct, right.
You know, that they have to go through. I mean, you do have the onboard fire extinguishers.
Correct.
I'm thinking, and everything else. Because really, if you'd see some of the funny cars, like the Mr. Norm's funny cars and stuff like that, the Candy and Hughes and all the things, you look back at the day and you go, wow, where's your safety equipment?
Right. How did they do that?
Yeah, I think in a way that's kind of a draw for the nostalgic cars, because for fans, you know, because they remember that, and they remember that, you know, like even with our good friends Roger Lindemood and now Randy Lindemood that's running around here somewhere, you know, when his dad was running the 64 Nationals, I mean, they were running on drum brakes.
Right.
It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, when you got top end at one time, did it ever get kind of squirrely with the Detroit Tiger?
Actually, yeah, I had this past weekend in Kearney. Our first qualifier, we ran Saturday night, and it was cool, and the track, the dew was coming in. And when I put the thing into high gear, it started sashaying, and I don't want to say I have my hands full, but I had to drive it.
I mean, what do you have enough time to go, all right, let's see, the chute pull is here, the brakes is here, the sand trap's there, or does things like in an accident go like in slow motion for you, or is
it,
things so
do.
Fast?
Yes. No, it is slow motion, and I've got enough experience now that I can make that decision, you know. Like on Saturday night when the car started, or Friday night, the car started moving. It was during a qualifying run, so I needed to make the run. But you also have to make the decision, are you going over the edge? Do I need to throw the chutes, or can I go? And I made the decision to go, and it was the right decision because it didn't get too out of hand. It put us in the top of the field.
Yeah, but is it like driving a conventional car on ice?
Sometimes it is, yes.
But, I mean, was it this time?
No, it wasn't that bad, no.
But, man, if you got your... I mean, it's not like you got power steering.
Right, exactly.
I mean, unless you have arms like Schwarzenegger, by the time you got to the very end, you know, it was like, did you get out of it and go, no big thing, where's my Gatorade?
Pretty much, yeah.
While other people maybe want a change of clothes afterward?
It wasn't that bad. Excuse me, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but I mean, when you get mid-track and you feel it slip a little bit, do you go, do I have time to think about this, or do I keep in it?
Well, that was my second qualifier on Friday night. We had that scenario. It left the starting line pretty hard, and about 250 feet out, it started to rattle the tires, and it made an abrupt right turn for the 330 cone.
Ooh.
And fortunately, I was able to wheel it in the other direction and not hit the cone and end up in the other lane. But yeah, that one I have my hands full. I did get a thank you note from the track manager yesterday that thanked me for not hitting anything.
Yeah, I would about imagine they were like thrilled for that. Because when you start going in there, because you can't overcompensate, but you don't have that much time. Because how fast are you going it by that time?
By the 3:30, it's 130, I believe.
130. Okay, most human beings have not gone that fast in a vehicle, especially not driving it. You know, and how much time do you have to like? Because you can't, or do you? Do you gently turn slightly off to that, or do you kind of have to jerk it pretty hard?
It's a quick reaction because it moved so fast that it was a quick reaction, and for me it's mostly instinct. That's what I keep learning. I react to it and I come out on the positive side 99% of the time.
You know, when you said that you picked your spot, you know, down the track and stuff, can you see? On whatever corner of the eye, whatever lane you have, can you see somebody scooting a little close to you?
Yes. Yes, I can.
And that makes you want to do?
It just depends on how fast it's happening.
I mean, do you scoot or do you just go straight and think he'll recover? Or, I mean, what goes through your head?
You know, I've only been in that scenario one time, and it was early in my career, and we both did the same thing. I was running my buddy Mark Horvath at 131, mm-hmm. and we were both coming up to the finish line, and we were side by side, and I think we were looking at each other to see where we were, and we both ended up probably within a couple feet of the center line. So that's the only time that scenario's gotten my attention. But it gave Mark and I something to talk about for years after.
Yeah, well, how nice. Because you're thinking, here they come. Oh, I'm sure he'll get back. I'm sure he'll correct. He's still coming. I'm sure. But, I mean, by that time, because your car runs the track at how fast?
On the average, about 220, 222.
Okay. And in seconds?
6:15, 6:20.
Oh, that's right. We're just about ready to get into the fives. Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But that's got 5 seconds, folks. I mean, probably from where you're sitting right now to getting up and getting to your refrigerator is probably a little bit more than 5 seconds. By this time, Steve has started, went mid-track, and is just about past and coming into the traps right now, and all of this thought process while piloting this thing. And again, we're not talking, this isn't a Lexus that he's driving, you know, although a beautiful car and it sounds fantastic. When you drive this vehicle, it's not like you got air conditioning and a comfy seat and great rack and pinion steering. This could get a little hairy,
you know.
And then to be able to do this and make all these calculations, you know, it's a phenomenal thing what you do, Steve. It really is.
Thank you.
You know, so now does this make you go, okay, so we've done the progressional ladder. Now you got two routes. Stay here, go one ladder up. Where are you going?
No, I think, our next progression would be to go to a nitro car, but I don't see that happening just for the cost factor. So we're just going to keep plugging away with the alcohol car. For me right now, it's more the challenge to get the most we can out of the alcohol car.
Cost factor? Look, so far you sweet talked her into this. Go a little further.
Well, she has her limitations.
Well, okay. Well, all right, then hang out and get the boat afterward. However, if you went up to a nitro car, how much of a step up in finances is that?
I probably triples.
Wow. Wow. And then I'm thinking the reliability of motors kind of go down?
nitro and reliability. Yep, those two words don't go together.
Yeah. It's like you almost want to go back to 63 when the surfers were running 100%, you know, nitro. And it was like, how? You know?
Right.
Although it was running in a fine stock 426 Hemi, I'll have you know.
Right.
You know? I mean, they tried it in the slant six, but they wanted to go a little faster. Anyways. That's got to be weird. If you went, how much faster would you go if you had a nitro car than what you're running right now?
Well, see, that's kind of the cool thing about our deal. The current Nostalgia Nitro Funny cars are running in the 570 range, 560s. So, you know, if you look at it, we're not that far behind them running on alcohol.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of why we're content doing what we do.
Now, how long of a drag strip do you go down?
Feet-wise? Most of the time, we're quarter mile. The Funny Car Chaos series that we run, we do run that eighth mile.
Boo. Bless your heart, quarter mile and getting into the fives.
We're aiming for it.
That's insane. I mean, that, and considering when you think, all right, here's the difference between an alcohol, for those who don't know out there, Steve. Alcohol makes your engine react how over, say, their natural car that they drive around to Myers and back?
Well, the Lexus probably is 300 horsepower.
Maybe.
We're somewhere in the probably 2,000 range.
Yeah. And that's why you go 5 seconds at a time. Job well done. You know, and especially when you take a look at all the people that were at the Funny Car Chaos. And now, because we see, a lot of people understand the smoke and noise classes because they see those on Fox. You know, they see the top fuels, they see the show, Funny Cars, and then whatever the Pro Modi thingy may be. You know, and it's like 3.5 seconds and done, 3.5 seconds and done, and now we're sitting back. And, okay, now, to field one of those teams, it's $1 million easy. You know?
Oh, easy.
There's no chance that you're going to have all your relatives drop by, say, hi, and somebody bring a dish to pass. You know?
Right.
And I think what happens, and again, if longtime listeners know that, our stance on that is, that's nice. You know, but you now become unrelatable, you know, to the common guy. Yeah, they can come by and see you thrash and things like that. But it's different with the Detroit Tigers side, isn't it?
Because it is.
Fans can actually come up and approach you, right?
Absolutely. We encourage it.
And somehow they're going to ask you now, it's like, what words did you use that you could get this funny card from your wife? Yeah. Now, what they get to do is, when they come to see you, this the weekend of the 26th and 27th, we've only said the 26th because that's when we're going to be there, but this is really a full weekend.
Correct, yes.
You know, and so they're going to be at the Funny Car, at the Funny Car Nationals, can't help me, the Nostalgia Dragnets, here at Milan, coming up on the 26th and 27th of this month, man, it's right around the corner. They're going to have all kinds of cars there.
Yes.
Go, Steve.
Got a full gamut.
Yeah, I mean, they got the Nostalgia Funny Cars. They have Nostalgia Comp. They have the Super Stocks there. They have the Great Lakes Gassers are going to be there. You know, it's too bad you don't have any relatives there, wink.
Right.
With Tim and his crew, I guess they did a heck of a job at Ubley last weekend.
That's what I heard.
Can't wait. How many funny cars, and the Nostalgia Funny Cars, Steve, is going to be in your pack on the weekend of 26, 27?
We've got a six-car Nostalgia Funny Car show. There'll be, Tim will probably have 40-plus gassers there. The Nostalgia Superstock group out of Wisconsin, they are bringing, I believe, 10 to 15 cars.
Wow.
And then our nostalgia comp class, which is front engine dragsters, altereds, funny cars if you want. That's usually about a 16-car show.
Wow. And these guys, when the doors open at?
The gates open at 9 o'clock, and we're on the track at 10.
Wow.
And that's when all the qualifying starts.
The qualifying begins at 10? They're not going to have some kind of run tune and then go?
Nah, we give them a little time to get tuned up first before we throw them in the battle.
That's a lot of cars, Steve.
Oh, plus you've got bracket cars and show cars. We usually, on a normal event, we're usually between 300 and 400 cars. We'll probably be a little less because of the COVID deal going on than that this year, but it's still going to be a packed house.
Yeah, but if you're going to have as many as you had, at the Detroit Dragway Reunion, that was a full plate.
Yes, yes.
Oh, kiddies. Now, here's the story that you can do if you're a fan. If you come on in, you know, go on by, because all the Nostalgia Funny Car guys kind of all park together, don't they?
Yeah, we group everybody together. We keep the funny cars together, the gassers together, the super stocks together. That way, you know, you can kind of pick your poison as you're going through the pits.
Now, like what we were saying, you know, a little bit before, folks can come up and say howdy do to you, right? They can take a look at the car, don't touch the engine, but they can look at the car.
Well, depending on what kind of damage we do, they may have to touch the engine and give us a hand.
Yeah, well, let us please not damage the engine on the first time around. But the thing about this and what caught us, as folks know here, that we went to the Detroit Dragway Reunion, and we walked around the pits and stuff like that. And it's one of those, really, if you're a drag racing fan from any era, or you're just getting into this, wait till you see what Steve has in store for you. Every which way you look, there is a car that will drop your jaw. No question about it.
There is something for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, even you don't have to be, because it says nostalgia, kids. Don't get hung up on that word. You know, it's just that these are cars from this period of time. You know, they're still as fast as Hades. The thrills are still as wild as they are, and some of these cars put on a show and a half. Matter of fact, the funny cars have their own feature, right? Time, I should say.
Yes, yeah, we run our exhibition times are at 2 and 4 o'clock, and that's when we run all the funny cars, the gassers, the nostalgia super stocks. They all run at the same time.
Yeah,
same time frame. I shouldn't say the same time, but the same time group.
Oh, but you're going to have a whole day. Kids, bring your, well, let's see. I was going to say bring your suntan lotion, because, man, that Detroit Dragway, hot. That day was hot. You know, how much do you get that in heat when you have to sit, you know, idling, so to speak, you know, waiting for the next, you know, the first cars in front of you to go, and your engine's on, and blah, 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 blah. And it's a hot day out there. I mean, how hot is it in that flopper? Because you're not wearing T-shirts and shorts.
Right. No, we're in our fire suit. But fortunately, you know, Sue Christofferson turned me on to the cool vest, which is an ice pack that you wear under your fire suit, and it drops you down a good 10, 15 degrees.
Yeah, but
so there's little tricks.
Like?
The cool vest.
Do you need any more? No, I was thinking about if there was some kind of way that they pipe air somewhere into you, like a NASCAR. You know, I mean, I realize you're not there for 2 hours.
But yeah, there are fresh air systems. I don't run one myself, but there are teams that do. Yes.
I mean, does it? For as long as you're in that car, I mean, but are you feeling the heat, or are you so picking your spot and thinking of what's going on and stuff? The heat's there, yes, you realize it, but it's not engulfing?
No, it doesn't. You know, your adrenaline kind of takes that out of the scenario.
I mean, when does your adrenaline stop?
When I get home Sunday night.
It must be a spirited drive home.
Right. Well, it depends on how you do.
I mean, do you look, Steve, like in January and go, okay, because there's a whole different situation. Your connection with Milan Dragway is?
I am their special events promoter.
And that means, obviously, you promote special events, but?
I spend pretty much year-round putting cars together, groups together. I help a little bit with sponsorship and just kind of making life a little bit easier for them.
I was going to say, how does that work? Because we know that when like December, January, a lot of bands say, okay, we're touring. And then we go, oh, okay, well, okay, Springsteen, he's going to be around here. We can do this and we can bring Mitch Ryder in here and we can, and there you go, that all fits. Because now right. We have everybody in front of us who have said they're touring. And then it's a whole, well, okay, if you want us to state, let's see if we can get to Ohio and then et cetera, et cetera. But how is it for you? I mean, do you get this stuff in January? Do people knock on your door and say, hey, we're ready to go? Do people send you emails and say we're available?
Yeah, we typically start the booking process in September. You know, as the season's winding down, we're already working on next season.
September of this year?
Correct.
For next year?
No, September of this year.
Oh, yeah, but you're booking for 2021?
For next year, for 2021.
Bless your heart, book out of 2020. Hurry the hell up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nothing to do with that.
But how does that work, Steve? I mean, do you see ones that you go, oh, we got to have these people, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, we've got, you know, it gets harder and harder to get certain cars in, like, you know, this particular event at Milan, I was able to bring in George Reidenauer and Rocky Perrone out of the Philadelphia area. And that was, I don't want to say it was fortunate, but it was due to COVID because their races there got canceled. So I was able to get them to come here, which normally I wouldn't be able to do.
Steve, how do you do that?
We're very fortunate. I'm sorry.
How do you do that? You call them up and you go, hey, Rocky, psst, not doing anything?
That's pretty much how it went this year. Yeah, I knew what their schedule was, and, you know, the tracks had canceled these events for them. So, like I said, fortunately, I was able to pick them up and bring them to us.
Wow. And then you're trying to, do you play mix and match? Let's see. Here's a Corvette. We should probably have... Mustang, we should probably have, or it's like, who's best available? How does that work out? It must be like a draft or something.
It is. Yeah, we try not to put all the cars at the same events. And, you know, there's about 12 to 15 cars in our group that we use. And, you know, we mix it up so that everybody gets a turn to play.
I mean, can you play with all 16?
We can. It's really hard to get a track to do a 16 car booked in show because it does get fairly expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. But there's, you know, there's been events where it's happened before.
I mean, is there a flat rate? I mean, don't tell us monies or anything like that, but I mean, is it obviously not like a baseball player that they go, okay, you know, we're kind of figuring out we got a price tag, but is there a basic price for, say, a nostalgia funny car or a nostalgia comp guy? And you kind of go,
yeah,
okay, we have this much money?
It's X amount. You know, if you want an 8-car show, it's X amount. If you want a 4-car show, it's X amount. So, yeah, it's pretty much a standard rate in the industry.
And then you get to say, okay, hey, Bob, if you're wanting to come, we'll be more than glad to have you come by.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and a lot of it depends on you know, the area that they live in. You know, we're pretty fortunate that, you know, the group that we run with, we're all within a couple hundred miles of one another. So we try to book the races as close to home as we can get.
Yeah, well, they can't be sad that they're going on the track from Milan.
Oh, no, that's our home track.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I was looking over the roster here. It must have been a heck of a time to get the gassers. I mean, would you go to, like, a 4th of July picnic and go, say, Tim?
You know, Tim, I think Tim's got, I believe, real close to 60 cars on his group roster.
That's incredible.
It is. It is.
You know, when you started this, you know, to do the Nostalgia Nats, did you say, all right, look, I know that I want Nostalgia Funny Cars. What else do I want?
Well, this isn't something that I started. This has been going on at Milan since the late 80s. And I've been involved with it on the promoting aspect for about the past 10 years.
And so when you do this, especially for the 10 years, what's the thing that drives you nuts about this?
The weather. just trying to guess the weather. You know, that's the I still haven't got a handle on it.
Well, if you did,
never will.
I was going to say, if you did, Major League Baseball would like to talk to you.
Right, exactly. Because, no, it's funny. The girls in the office, they have a lot better outlook on how to handle things. I tend to panic early, where they stay a lot more calm and cool and roll with it a little easier.
Panic early, meaning if you see on Monday that there's a 30% chance on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
What percentage of rain does not make you sweat besides zero?
No percentage, yeah.
I mean, if you see 10% on Monday, do you get worried?
I used to. I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, because it must, because you think of all the work, because this must not just take you a few hours on a Sunday with a hammock and go, all right, let's check this box, I'll make some phone calls tomorrow, and I'm done. I mean, there's got to be an awful lot of work to put this event together.
It is. It is. Between, you know, and it's not just myself. I mean, there's it rolls down to, you know, everybody at the racetrack and all the groups that we book in to participate in the event. You know, everybody puts in, you know, their fair share. I mean, even yourself with the promotions that you've been doing. You know, I mean, every little bit helps.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, we've getting a whole lot of happiness coming back from our side. Now, yeah, there are some folks from Brazil who have given us their regrets, but they're going to be listening.
Right,
it's like, well, I don't think that you can get out of your country now, can you?
Right.
I'd love to have you come back next year when everything's good. And that's the exciting part. Now, people can get tickets how, Steve?
You buy them right at the gate when you walk in the door.
And that ticket also gets you to walk. I think what people misunderstand, and if this is anything like the Detroit reunion, when you buy your ticket, kiddies, you don't just go right to the stands and sit down.
Oh, no. No, every ticket is a pit pass.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't like those other folks where it's like, X number of dollars to get in and X number of dollars to be in the pits, and nobody wants to just get in. And then you go, man, that's almost like double or triple my ticket.
Right, right.
You know, and that's the fun thing, too. Now, when they come by the Detroit Tiger, when they come by the Excalibur and things, people should not be scared to take pictures, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, that's almost encouraged, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Yeah, all the drivers, they go out of their way to spend time with the fans, because without the fans, we have nowhere to race.
Yeah, and it's just like, and there's the fan rule of thumb that we have here. If they're thrashing and if they're swearing, you don't go by them. Everything else.
Even then, it's okay.
But I was going to say that if you see a racer, and normally folks are sitting in their chairs and they're shooting the breeze and stuff like that. It's not a closed club, fans.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, they can ask you. I mean, what was the wildest thing somebody ever asked you for? To sit in the car?
Yeah, we get a lot of that.
And how do you weigh that?
It just depends on what mode we're in.
okay, makes sense.
If we're thrashing for the rounds, yeah, it's not quite feasible to stuff somebody in the car. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, yeah, we don't have a problem throwing some kids in the car.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the best time to approach a racer, like say yourself?
Myself, anytime. My crew tells me that they don't want me working on the car, so I'm approachable anytime.
Why doesn't... Oh, okay, last question. Why doesn't your crew want you to work on your car?
You'd have to ask them.
I don't know. Okay, we're definitely... This sounds like a story. Okay, all right. So, 26th, the 27th, at Milan, September, this time around, gates open again, Steve, at when?
Gates open at 9... On track at 10, exhibition rounds at 2 and 4 on Saturday.
Absolutely, and tickets are?
A single-day pass for adults is $20 each day. You can do a two-day pass for $35, or if you feel like 3 days, you can do a three-day for $45.
And a three-day is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Correct, yes.
No, it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You're going to be the only people there on Monday, friends.
Right.
Okay. You know, and that's sponsors for this event, Steve, are who?
Oh, we've got...
Look quickly.
Geriatric Racing, CKIW Radio, and Milan Dragway.
There you go. You know, we see the geriatric sign. What do they do?
They're a group of racers that just got together and put this club together. They say they're older, but I see some younger guys in there. Just a good group of guys that put their deal together.
And they do. Do they sell things, or what do they do?
Yeah, they do. They do T-shirts and stuff like that. But no, it's basically just a racing group, and they go out and have a good time and go racing together.
Beautiful. All right. Anybody that we failed to mention? Because we better do it
probably
now.
Probably a lot of people.
You got any on top of your head? Because, you know, doggone well, when you hang up, it's like, oh, nuts. I should have said something.
Yeah, no, I think we've covered everybody.
Okay. Crew and everybody there is going to be all... Folks, all you have to do is... The Detroit Tiger, if you've seen our Facebook page at all, you know what the Detroit Tiger funny car looks like. You know, I mean, and we got, I think, one more pop, and then we have end of this week, Daniel, end of this week, we start with the Superstockers and the Gassers. And so you're going to be able to see a lot of the cars on the promo spots that promotions are doing. You're going to be able to see these cars live. And believe me, if you love the pictures, you're going to be impressed. When you see these cars, light them up and go. And I mean, some of these are four-speed cars where you're going to see them actually pull a gear and pull them off the ground. And that, it's drag racing the way drag racing should be. I mean, when you go by, see Steve, shake his hand or give him a fist bump, what we got to do nowadays.
Right.
And say thank you so very much for putting this event on. I know there's some of these events here, there, and everywhere, but you're not going to see them all under one roof. This is like the world's greatest drag racing mall. You know, one ticket, one place, one race, and you're going to go home beat. You know, if you think that Steve's adrenaline is going to be gone on Sunday, your adrenaline will probably be gone Tuesday, Wednesday, because you're going to be telling everybody at work everything you saw, and then they're going to have to cram around your little phone so they can see all the pictures that you took of everybody. And, yeah, that's me standing next to Steve. We're good friends now. You know, even though Steve is like, what's your name? Okay, great. Whatever. You are going to be impressed. Kitties, CKIWI Radio 76 would not be broadcasting from this place if we didn't think we were fully into it, because if you know the track, if you know the cars, get to know Steve, learn the words right on, and get to know everybody else. The racers, they every racer kid loves to talk about their car. And, you know, sometimes you go, oh, my gosh, we don't want to bother them. You know what? They're almost the other way around, you know, because racers, well, you kind of almost have to hit that shutoff valve in the back because it will go on about your car. You won't be able to see all the cars. Go. Make sure your batteries are charged up on everything because you'll be taking tons of pictures. And, again, post them up everywhere you go. Bring somebody with you that's never seen a drag race before, you know.
Absolutely.
This is going to be something that's outstanding. Please pray that there is no rain or 10% coming up on Monday so Steve doesn't have to worry all week long. Ulcers are not a fun thing.
Right.
Steve, thanks very, so very much for being with us today. Honest to God, man, we've been looking forward to this for an awful long time.
Well, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Hang on the line, Steve, if you would. We want to talk to you on the other side, but right now it is Bruce Springsteen and Born to Run here on CKIW. Hi. Radio 76.